No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now. Right now.
Florida State Legislature passing a new congressional map. Cordell Scott's on News Radio 92.3.
Hours after Florida State House voted 83-28 along party lines to approve a new congressional map, the state Senate did the same.
Record the vote.
21 yeas, 17 nays, Mr. President.
Throw the bill passes.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Bridge needs to be replaced. How are you going to pay for it? Glenn? Easy one.
That's going to be an easy one, and that one is going to take more than 40 seconds to figure out. I hope that our county can start turning to being proactive in its budgeting plans and its funding of these upcoming obligations there. I think the state and the commissioners have got to get very busy about talking about grant opportunities within the state and the federal departments there, if there's any of that available there. But I'm aware of the Theo Bars Bridge, and it's going to be quite a challenge for the county.
So at the Friday forum for the Women for Responsible Legislation, I was the moderator asking questions of the candidates for District 2 and District 4 in Escambia County. And I will tell you that we had five people there out of the six people that say they're running. And I'm really only going to play clips from four of them because the fifth one was the Democrat. That was Matthias Robinson. And bless his heart, just the Republican who wins this primary is going to win the election. And just he was trying, and I don't mean to disparage anybody who's running for office. I appreciate anybody who runs for office. But just for perspective, Glenn Dorsey has raised $25,000. Mike Kohler has raised $63,000, and Matthias Robinson has raised $350. So, probably not going to play a lot of his audio because, you know, you understand. Meanwhile, Ashley Hoffberger and Joe Vinson. Joe Vinson has also not raised any money at all, zero across the board. Ashley Hoffberger, $74,000. But since he's the only one challenging her at the moment, and he is a no-party affiliation, so this is an election in the fall. I will, because, you know, that's more of an interesting case, especially because of the library stuff and, you know, but... Anyway, interesting answers to several of these questions, and we'll give you a chance to hear from them. And you heard there, Glenn, talking about, you know, how to fund the Theo Bars Bridge replacement. Mike Kohler.
Mike, how are you going to pay for the Theo Bars Bridge?
Well, first, Andrew, it's not in District 2. It's in District 1.
But, well, that question's coming.
just saying. And that was a little bit my fault because I was asking a Bob Sykes question as well for District 4, and I thought, oh, you know, both districts. And my brain had still gone back to the old way the districts were before the redistricting or the gerrymandering, depending on whose perspective on this you want to believe. That's mine. But so, yeah, he's right. It was actually a District 1 question now for Steve Stroberger, but that's okay. Anyway, Mike's going to answer.
Just saying, I'd much rather have Steve Stroberger answer it, but the bottom line is that it's a state road, right? And then on the other side, the county got involved. It's like $80 million. I mean, is it going to be a toll like Pensacola Beach? I don't know. I mean, we're going to have to work with the state and see if they want to put a toll, or I don't want to put a toll. But, or we can get funding through FDOT. But I'll tell you, it's not as easy as people think. Gulf Beach Highway is a $150 million project. They do 3 to 5 projects a year. That's not just in Escambia. That's Escambia, Santa Rosa, and part Alabama. So it's, if the state wants to help us, give us more money for the state roads. That would help.
And, you know, even though we did do that road swap, remember we gave up basically Beulah Road for the feds, well, to the state, so that we could facilitate them maintaining that and for the Beulah interchange, which is coming. It is coming. It's, I mean, you know, I know you don't see any dirt turning yet, but that is coming. It's just a slow process to make an interchange connection. And then we took over complete control of Perdido Key Drive. But apparently the bridge, still does belong to the state. I'm not sure where the line is for what they own, what we own. But in any case, that's going to be their responsibility, at least partly. Also, maybe some federal money would be usable for that because it goes over the intercoastal, which is an interesting thing I have not heard brought up in Santa Rosa County. But if you have, you know, the bridge there would be the same thing, the Navarre Beach Bridge. So unless I'm really mistaken about where the intercoastal is, which is always possible, I have to look on a map again. Just, yeah, that has to be where it goes. Anyway, just doing it off of memory and trying to make a map in my head. Bob Sykes Bridge, meanwhile, in District 4, which is another thing to be planning for. Ashley Hoffberger.
I gave them, and he's right, it's not anymore, but that question is coming. But the Bob Sykes Bridge is even worse. More imminently, urgently in need of replacement. How are you going to pay for that, Ashley?
So we have about 17 years left on that bridge under the current conditions, and there are repair options that are there, and I am all about making the most out of what we have. Mike Burns, the executive director of SRIA, has also been diligently working on a bridge grant from the federal level. The total cost of the bridge is about $370 million. We are a finalist on that bridge grant program. We might not get it this year because we do still have 17 years of life left, but that does put us in a great running for that grant program in the future. The bridge is already bonded, so you do pay a toll as you go over. So a toll is nothing new to Pensacola Beach. And we have got great partnerships with grant writers from SRIA and then also from the federal level as well.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting suggestion Mike Kohler makes that maybe the Theo Bars Bridge to Perdido Key would become a toll bridge as a way of paying for it. I mean, you know, also that price tag, is that right? $370 million for the replacement for the Bob Sykes Bridge. That seems, I mean, that was the price tag of the Three Mile Bridge. Remember, they came, it was just under $400 million. I don't know what it ended up at, but I know that was the original price. So, man, that's just crazy to think that the Bob Sykes Bridge would cost the same as the Three Mile Bridge. Joe Vinson, the No Party affiliate candidate.
Yeah, I mean, the normal ways of funding bridges. And
I think it's a funny answer. How are you going to pay for the bridge? You know, the normal ways. Oh, what? Which ones? I don't know. It was a funny beginning to the answer.
Bob Sykes, obviously, we have a toll. There's been a toll there forever, I believe. And I think the main thing is just to make sure that the toll fund is not used as a piggy bank for other projects. But, you know, Pensacola Beach is essential to our beach economy, which is, you know, a major engine for our community's economy. So we need to address it however we can. But state and federal grants are always very welcome. And as County Commissioner, I would continue to pursue those and to make repairs before the life of the bridge is up. I think a lot of us have probably seen the visible rebar and other things on that bridge. So we just need to make sure we're putting our best face forward.
I also kind of like that answer. You know, I mean, federal money, sure, I'll take it. I mean, but there's some truth to that as well. And then the other question I asked that had to do with District 4 specifically was the Santa Rosa Island Authority, which kind of came up obliquely there and talking about where the money goes from the $1 toll on the Bob Sykes Bridge to Pensacola Beach.
Should the SRIA continue? Is that a useful layer of government, in your opinion? Or should it be changed in some way? Joe?
I would be in favor of reforming the SRIA. I am in favor, honestly, of looking at fee simple title. I think there's a lot of things on Santa Rosa Island that were established to try to get people to move out there and that don't necessarily make sense anymore. There are more than a dozen different leases of various things. Some people pay taxes on improvements in land, some people pay no taxes. And the usage fees, you know, it's just a mess, and it adds a level of bureaucracy that we don't need. So I think there's a lot of duplication that happens with SRIA, and so I don't have any specific proposals, but I would be very open to examining what the options are.
So what's interesting to me about that answer is that if he's going to win against Ashley in November, and right now he is her only opponent, as a no-party affiliate, he's going to try to capture, you know, Democrats and no-party affiliates, right? Or, I mean, I guess theoretically Republicans who are unhappy with her. I don't, you know, maybe there are some, whatever. But in saying he's for fee simple, he's now completely lost the beach ladies, right? Remember the fight over fee simple versus leases and beach access? And those were all Democrats. So I'm not saying that all Democrats are with the beach ladies or all Democrats would oppose Joe Vinson because he wants to, you know, pursue fee simple. Just politically, it's an interesting move because you're kind of alienating, I don't even want to say one of the strongest constituents locally, but, you know, a very, very active, very eager to be involved group of people who would certainly be against that. And then what would they do in an election and how might they organize against you? You know, would the beach ladies come out for Ashley Hoffberg? I mean, I don't know. But I just thought that was a kind of an interesting take by him. Her answer to the question, since it is her district right now.
So SRA has a lot of abilities that they're not really executing on. You've seen the board grow a little bit stronger and be a good representation of that community. Unfortunately, one of the things I didn't know when I campaigned was SRA board is not comprised of people who have a vested interest on the beach. It is comprised of people that the Board of County Commissioners puts out there. So I think if we're going to see real reform, it needs to be made up of people who actually live on the beach. My SRA appointee does live on the beach. Commissioner Strohberger lives on the beach. We're very thankful for that. And then we also have an elected person that lives on the beach. And I think that your government that makes the rules that you live in needs to be closest to you. And I don't know how you do that if you don't even live in the neighborhood. So reform is absolutely needed.
Yeah, the residency is an interesting one, too. I don't think I even knew that. I guess I just assumed that all of their appointees would live on the beach. I mean, I know the commissioners appoint, and then there's one at-large elected by beach residents. But yeah, how can somebody be? And look, actually, you know, I know a couple of the people who don't live there. It's not that they're not, you know, good people, but vested interest is vested interest. That makes perfect sense to me that, you know, you ought to reside on the beach if you're going to represent it. And by the way, that's true, I don't know, kind of across the board, right? Think of about the CRA, the Community Redevelopment Agency or area, depending on which aspect of it you're talking about. The people who are on the CRA, it seems like they should live in the area. Now, that would mean that each CRA would be staffed by different people. Okay. I mean, seriously, like, you know, I'm this. And by the way, this would be a really big issue for the city because you have so much money in the downtown CRA and such a wide area for it. But obviously not all of the city council members live in the CRA that they oversee. And it's, you know, kind of this ongoing question of, you know, what responsibility level should the CRA have and how should they be different from the city council members and so forth. But just generally speaking, I mean, if I ask you in a vacuum, should the people who represent a geographic area politically have to live in that area? I mean, your answer is always yes, right? It would be really weird circumstances where you might even consider a no. I mean, we even have questions about whether the people who, like, work on the police force should have to live in the city or the county that they serve in. I actually don't think so. But, you know, that's an interesting conversation. Well, if you're going to have that conversation about, don't take this the wrong way, mere employees, I mean, certainly the elected officials who represent an area should have to live there. I mean, imagine somebody living in Georgia serving in Congress from Florida. It's, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Same thing for the island. Like, why would the SRIA be made up of people who don't live on the island? I'm with her. That's a weird thing. And like I said, I don't think I even knew that. 5:23 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. More of these clips throughout the day. It was an interesting conversation. Some fairly interesting news, I will tell you, coming up in the 7:10 pass at this. I have one question that was particularly interesting from a news perspective, but, you know, I'll share that with you later. I'm Andrew McKay.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft.
Oh, no.
That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Get the alerts that could make all the difference. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barberry Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barberry Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
An official message from Medicare.
I turned 65 this year. I knew it was time to figure out Medicare, and I had questions,
like when to enroll and how to enroll. So I went straight to the official source, Medicare.gov, to get the facts about Medicare. I found answers to all my questions, and I'm ready to get started. And so can you. Just go to Medicare.gov to get the real facts about Medicare.
Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. The common clay of the New West. You know. Morons.
Really good question, PJ, and I want to let you ask it because you asked me right when we went into the break. I was like, oh, you should have asked then. We were talking about the SRIA and who should serve on it. Should they have to live on the beach or not? And you asked?
I asked, doesn't the county pay for that? And then what's the right ratio of people, county to the island?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the county does pay a lot. There's also a lot raised by their lease fees. It's a good question. And I, for the life of me, I have to relearn the SRIA stuff every time. Just like I feel like I have to relearn all the pros and cons of fee simple versus leases and the status of the leases and all that kind of stuff. But it's a good question because if the county operates the Santa Rosa Island and does, for example, the maintenance out there, like we recently went through a change with the fire service where they're basically now paying for their own fire service, I think entirely through the MSBU, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong about that, but it's a good question because, you know, it depends on who pays. At the same time, think about this. Like here in Escambia County, we elect our state representatives. We elect our state senator, also in conjunction with other people. The state gives us funding in Escambia County, and we don't necessarily elect everybody from the state. So there's a weird blend of, like, we don't control the state finances, but the state does have a vast impact on us in terms of what they fund for local things. Similar to the SRIA, the representatives have to be from here, but the money comes from somewhere else, and yet other people have it. It's an interesting question. But I would generally say the idea of having the people who, like your delegate, like if you're Stephen Barry, you live in the North End, nowhere near the beach. Still, your person should live on the beach if they're going to represent that area, and they would, you know, be your person. And if you don't like the way that they're representing you, you can replace them. But still, I would say that the people who represent a particular geographic area, and it is geographically constrained, should live on that island. But good question. Nuance, I think, to raise about that. So I appreciate that. 437-1620, 437-1620. So apparently people are now taking the copper out of lights on the interstates because, you know, copper is valuable. There was a story in Studio A50. Florida Highway Patrol has arrested John Stone of Gulf Breeze, 42 years, blue hair. How would you describe that, PJ?
Blue hair.
42 years and blue hair. Yeah, I mean, you know, I was like, it always makes me laugh a little bit when people who are engaged in criminal activity, allegedly, okay, you know, make themselves super identifiable. Like we were having that conversation last week about the Supreme Court case on geofencing and, you know, geofence warrants. And, you know, one view on that question is, so you turned your phone on, though, and you took it with you with location on and history tracking on. Yeah. And now you're upset that if you don't do anything to hide your location from anybody, and well, likewise, you know, when you have blue hair or like I think of facial tattoos and neck tattoos and some of the things people. Anyway, so in broad daylight, I-10 near mile marker 15 near the 9th Avenue crossing, he was out there just ripping wires out of FDOT light poles. The copper wire theft thing has always just amazed me. Not, I mean, you know, as an economic matter, I guess I get it. You know, if you can spend 3 hours and you can grab $10,000 or $50,000. I mean, radio stations have been, you know, vulnerable to this historically. People go and rip up the ground wires. And it's, you know, what they get in value is nothing compared to the cost of replacing them. It's like ordinary vandalism. You know, you go into a house and you steal the copper pipes, and let's say you get $1,000 and it costs $20,000 to replace them. I mean, it's just so disproportionate. It's just so, you know, wicked and stupid and mathematically incompetent. But, you know, people do it. Florida highways. Copper wire theft is apparently an issue in South Florida, especially due to the high price of copper. Most of the FDOTs, the lights on Bayou Chico Bridge, were out of operation for several months due to wire theft. So, just when we're trying to have a civilization, and then you start to think about, well, could Manhattan be converted into an island paradise for criminals, and we could drop Snake Plissken in there if we ever need to get the president out in an emergency?
I'm CJ Papa. President Trump turning down the counteroffer from the Islamic Republic.
Today, Iran's foreign minister says that it is still serious about negotiations after President Trump rejected Tehran's recent response, writing this on Truth Social. I've just read the response from Iran's so-called representatives. I don't like it. Totally unacceptable.
That's Fox's Alex Hogan in Washington. 18 people run the Hunter virus cruise ship arriving overnight at a medical facility in Omaha, Nebraska.
They're going to be quarantined and monitored as U.S. officials are expected to hold a press conference later today on the outbreak. We now know one American has tested positive for the disease. Another is showing symptoms. All as a French passenger has also now tested positive for the virus.
Fox's Todd Pyro, 17 Americans, one British national who lives here, are now at that facility, according to Nebraska Medicine. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 71 degrees, cloudy skies this morning. We'll get a full look at our forecast with Channel 3's Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. Florida's budget special session gets underway today, with both chambers planning to vote on their respective spending plans Tuesday. Then conference negotiations will begin. State Senator Don Gates says he likely will be serving on the committee working on the education budget. He said that the Senate will put its $115 billion proposal on the table, and he does predict that a budget will be on the governor's desk before the June 30th deadline. Gates says for the third year in a row, the Senate is proposing to cut the overall state spending, calling that responsible stewardship while families and businesses struggle with affordability. The House does prefer a leaner $113.5 billion budget. The 18-day special session will run through May 29th. Well, Escambia County commissioners are working to get a long overdue upgrade for a Pensacola hero who died in the Korean War, just 17 years old. Private First Class Rosamond Johnson saved two of his fellow soldiers before he was killed trying to save a third. He received a Purple Heart, but Escambia commissioners say that recognition falls short of what he actually deserves.
He joined the service at 15 years old. He saved two people, and then the third person he went in, he got killed at 17. Anyone that served, in the, you know, doesn't matter if it's the police force, the military, and comes back home while others die, we need to honor them and recognize them. And his family, obviously I've been in touch with our congressman and other folks. That was in 1950, and he didn't get a personal award. He got a Purple Heart. That would never happen today, and hopefully we can rectify that.
And that is Commissioner Mike Kohler, District 2. He attended a recent memorial event in Perdido Key. Commissioner Steve Stroberger also said that the two soldiers Johnson saved also received Purple Hearts, meaning Johnson's selfless act of trying to save a third person, which cost him his life, went unrecognized beyond the standard combat decoration. Commissioners do say they are working with the congressional delegation to seek a higher honor. One person has died. Two others were critically hurt after a head-on crash on State Road 87 North in Santa Rosa County on Sunday. The Florida Highway Patrol says a van traveling south crossed into the northbound lane and struck another van head-on near Smith-Wixon Lane about 7:45 Sunday morning. The driver of the second van, a 79-year-old Kentucky man, was killed. His passenger and the driver of the first van, a 63-year-old Alabama woman, were both critically injured and taken to a local hospital. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our forecast from Channel 3.
We will
will have a high chance of rain as you head into your day today. 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms starting in the late afternoon, lasting into the evening. High near 80 degrees today with lows tonight near 68. For Tuesday, rain chances coming to an end with mostly sunny skies. High near 79. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And we've got 71 degrees with cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Netflix price hike on its standard ad-free plan to nearly $20 is a sign that the economics of streaming are nearing a tipping point. Experts told CNBC that streaming services are increasingly valuing subscribers based on how much they watch and not just what they pay, as advertising turns viewing time into measurable revenue. Tech stocks revolving around the AI boom have seen a spike. Alphabet stock is up roughly 160% in the past year, driven higher by an emerging view on Wall Street that Google is well positioned across the AI landscape. Chip designer Broadcom is the next best performer over the past 12 months, with its stock up by 107%. Reports say Cerebra Systems is set to raise the size and price of its initial public offering as soon as today. Reuters reports the company is considering a new IPO price range of $150 to $160 a share. That is up from $115 to $125 a share. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me in welcoming Vice Admiral Jeffrey Caesar Cherico.
How do you tap that voice? I'll do my best, Capo. I have come home.
All right, so Friday night at the Navy Days Gala Ball, or whatever you wanted to call it, we had Jeff Caesar Cherico, call sign Caesar, last name Cherico, and it's a hard one to spell, C-Z-E-R-E-W-K-O. It's Polish. He's great. He was the Admiral two-star at the time in charge of the Naval Education Training Command here on the base. It trains all the sailors and all kinds of things all across the globe, really. It's a massive, sprawling tenant command. But he then got removed, whatever, early, 2 years instead of 3 years, in order to be promoted to 3-star and moved up to D.C. to go work in the Pentagon as the chief naval personnel and the deputy chief, deputy CNO over, I forget the details. It is important, but it's not that important. Anyway, he's a CNP, which means he's very high rank. Third, he's a 3-star, okay? So he was there at the ball, and I like that joke. He's like, joking about, how do you beat that voice, Capo? And Capo is the current, that's Admiral Huffman, who is the now 2-star at NETSI, who replaced him. And what I thought was so interesting in this speech on Friday was how emphatically pro-Pensacola he is, having been here, several times, right? as an aviator, and then, I don't know if he came back here as a trainer or to Whiting, obviously he was at Whiting also. And then now, being here for NETSI and now back again just to give a speech, and how much his heart is invested here. And how much, honestly, I do not think he is enjoying D.C. very much. He believes in the mission. The mission's vital. He will do it, but he'd rather be here.
It's been a long 11 months up in D.C., and D.C. is not Pensacola.
Isn't that the truth?
So to the museum staff, honored guests, families, and friends gathered here, as the chief of all naval personnel, it is my honor to join you and share a few insights, thoughts, and perspectives from almost 36 years of service. Visiting my favorite place in the world, Pensacola, Florida.
See, and I talked with Cherico a little bit, and I can confirm that is absolutely how he feels. All right, I'm going to Pensacola, I have to talk good about Pensacola. This is, I'm going home, and I'm going to talk about my buddies and the role that Pensacola plays in the Navy, which a lot of times we still don't fully appreciate.
Looks like we have about probably a little over 200 folks here tonight. It's a testament to our tight civilian and military bond that builds this epic community. The fun and camaraderie enjoyed this week. For me, I was at the Wahoos, or is it Mullets now, on Thursdays with my daughter. Hoping her boyfriend was going to ask her to marry, but she didn't. Oh, sorry, inside voice.
Hoping her boyfriend was going to ask her to marry him, which he didn't. Oops, inside voice. At the Wahoos game.
There was golf this morning at AC Reed. All of this is evidence of our mutually beneficial relationship between the military and the community.
Yeah, and that fondness, that love, that investment, that all the things that tie not just our aviators, but all of our aviation repairmen, Corps Station, the information warriors, the pilots who go to Whiting, the people who, this is why I wanted to play this, because I think it helps really put a perspective on the significance of Pensacola, not just as a location where they do these trainings, but as a community that births the careers of so many of our vital sailors and pilots, and just recognizing that significance and the role that you, as a citizen of this area, play in that process.
And as we look to the future, the scope of our work, and you need to be prepared for expanded work. We're growing. We're growing by leaps and bounds, and Pensacola is at the absolute heart of that.
Yeah, the Navy is growing. The training mission is growing. The throughput of students is growing, as I had shared with you on Friday. It's Thursday. Anyway, Chandra Newman, the commanding officer at NAS Pensacola, explained that the number of information warriors at Corey has basically doubled or tripled their capacity. And, not that the capacity has gone up, but that they're just being required to have more and more and more. Well, that's a challenge. Same thing for all of the training commands that are operated out of, Naval Air Station Pensacola. There are many, 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 many new sailors. Our sailor, the fleet is growing all the time. Not always the case, but it is growing right now.
To put a finer point on it, your United States Navy grew by more than 8,600 sailors last year.
About 344,000 total in the Navy.
And we're growing by more than 11,000 this year.
Growing.
In total, We brought in over 53,000 brand new sailors and officers last year.
And they have to be trained somewhere.
We'll exceed that number by the end of this year. We're ahead of plan.
We're record numbers in the Navy and the Marines, and many of them train here. Or, I mean, you know, they, at NES Pensacola, at Corry or at Whiting. And Corry is a subsidiary command of NES Pensacola, so if you're not familiar with the structure of everything, you know, Chandra Newman is the commanding officer at Corry also. But just, you know, so if you ever kind of wonder why do we do, you know, talk about them as a separate entity, but they're not really a separate entity anyway.
Americans are joining your United States Navy and Marine Corps. Put the grand sound. Really at record rates. Retention is at record highs, and your Navy and Marine Corps team is on the tip of the spear, and they are in active combat as I chat with you right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is not some idle exercise. This is, you know, our folks are deployed. They're running missions right now in Iran, right, and elsewhere around the world. And the folks who graduate Great Lakes for the Navy, a lot of them come here.
A massive number of these new sailors, after earning the title of U.S. Navy sailor, at Great Lakes, begin the next step of their journey here in Pensacola.
And you know what's interesting to me is, and I didn't hear it the first time. Actually, the sound in the auditorium is terrible, but so it was hard to hear him anyway. But I had my recorder up on the podium because I knew I'd catch a good quality of it or a better quality of it. If you're paying attention, Caesar is, he's kind of an emotional guy, and you can hear it in his voice every once in a while. But I'll tell you, there's a reason why. He's got 8 kids, okay? 6 of his kids are in the Navy or the Marines. 3 of them are pilots in one way or another. And he's got his daughter, one of his daughters, is in the Marines and is here right now. Like, she's going through training right now. And he's going to mention that later on in the speech. The one who didn't get proposed to is here right now. And so what makes him such an interesting speaker to me is every decision he makes, he is always thinking of that decision affects somebody's son, daughter, husband, wife, mom and dad, if they're old enough. And that's not some theoretical perspective for Caesar. That's 3, you know, aviation kids, 6 Navy Marine kids out of 8 kids total. You know, every decision he makes affects his children. You know, you want to talk about being invested in these things. All right, PJ, I'm going to give you a quick pop quiz. You may or may not know the answer, but I think most people do not know the answer to this. Give me your estimate for how many students come through NAS Pensacola and NAS Whiting Field and Corry on an annual basis. How many students? Just for perspective, UWF is about 15,000 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, and it's a, you know, medium-sized university. City of Pensacola is 55,000 people total. We have 330,000 or so that live in, you know, Escambia, 100 and, well, actually, I think it's might be right around 200,000 in Santa Rosa. So about 500,000 in the local area. How many students get trained at NAS Pensacola every year? And Whiting and Corry.
You're talking about new recruits, or are you talking about total?
Total trained, which most of them are new. The vast majority are new.
5,000.
53,000 students every year. When we talk about it being like a third to a half, right, of our economy, it's an enormous footprint economically. But you're right. I mean, you wouldn't imagine it's that many because that is, I mean, the city of Pensacola every year comes through here and trains.
This year, working with Capo Huffman, I expect to train over 55,290 sailors and officers here in Pensacola. That includes Corry Station and an AS Whiting Field. You got a Cherico here right now. I mean, not this Cherico, the one who didn't get asked to be married.
I know it's hard to hear. You've got a Cherico here right now. I mean, not this Cherico, not me, but, you know, the one who didn't get asked to get married is here right now.
But all of them are honing the critical skills we need each of them to master to be ready on day one when they cross the brow of their very first command. The sheer scale of their partnership is massive. Between NAS Pensacola, Corry Station, NAS Whiting Field, just for scale, there's over 23,000 military and civilian personnel supporting this mission every day. The skies above us are alive with activity. with our aviators flying over 84,000 sorties a year.
Yeah, most active airfield in the world, not just in the military or the Navy, Whiting Field, of course. But it's for perspective, it's useful to realize 24,000 military or civilian personnel employees between the three installations, 55,000 students a year. So pushing 80,000 people annually, either employed or employed temporarily, you know, like coming through here every, it's a ridiculously important mission that we have here at both of our, all three of our facilities.
Pensacola is Naval Aviation's foundry. What we do here as a team matters immensely.
We make the sailors and the airmen, well, airmen's Air Force, but, you know, and the pilots and the backseaters, you know, the NFOs. We make them here. We're the foundry. We're the production facility for such a massive portion of what is the Navy. You know, we may not make the ships. I mean, Austell, you know, in Mobile is pretty close. They make some of the ships. You know, Panama City, they make things, okay? You know, we're trying to make things, you know. But we don't make the metal, but we do make the people who inhabit the metal and fly the metal.
So at my headquarters, charged with the responsibility for 400,000 uniformed sailors and 220,000 civilians, I am laser-focused on a single goal: maximizing the lethality and survivability of our naval forces. I've said that at every change of command, specifically in here in the atrium, numerous times.
Making them more lethal and making them more survivable. And remember, my own children are a part of every decision that I make because they're in the Navy and the Marines. And, you know, again, so it's not just some theoretical thing when he says it, but I don't know. Maybe it's probably just me. I was probably a little bit stupid in this way, but when I was listening to his speech, I tend to think, I almost am embarrassed to say this out loud, I tend to think of the Navy being the steel hulls and the planes, you know, helicopters, boats. I mean, obviously the Navy is the sailors, but, you know, if you ask me what the Navy is, just like when I think of the Air Force, I think of the, you know, airstrips and the planes. Or when I think of the Army, I think, you know, weirdly, when I think of the Army, I do think of the soldiers, you know, and the tanks and the Apaches. But I don't know, just had this kind of glitch. And so him calling it the foundry, because the foundry is where you make the things, but him saying that the foundry is where we make the personnel is here. It just, it clicked a switch for me that realigned the way I think about what the Navy is and what our role in it is and how important we are to that role.
We are building a world-class fleet, and this community ensures that our sailors in harm's way tonight were supported when they were here and are supported now and connected.
And I'm going to come back to this in an hour because I thought it was such an interesting speech, but I want you to think, and you maybe already do, and I hope you do, but I want you to think about the value Pensacola has to the Navy, the central identity that Pensacola has for not just our aviators, but so many other people, and the role that every one of us plays in this process and what we can do to support them and what they do to, you know, fund us. I mean, so much of our economy in both counties is dependent on the military, and how, again, unique Pensacola is as a geography, as a culture, as an activity place, as a support system for them. Because it was so obvious in listening to him that, especially in D.C., now D.C. is not, you know, going to the Pentagon is not going into, you know, enemy territory in combat, but I think it kind of feels that way to him. Like, oh, this is rough. I hate it here. You know, just let me go fly again. And that he really feels deep in his heart like this is home. Like coming back here was like coming on vacation for him, like a respite from the kind of, you know, combat zone of being in the Pentagon. And so I appreciate that we are that for so many of the members of the Navy. 5:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Whether it's the style and performance of the all-new 2026 Outback or the extraordinary mileage of the 2026 Forester Hybrid, your next Subaru is guaranteed to put more scenery in your scenic route. The iconic Subaru Outback has been completely redesigned with sharper lines and more edge, making it look as tough and rugged as it drives. And the Forester Hybrid, with a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank and up to 40% better city fuel economy, will let you hit the road again and again and again. Both come standard with Subaru's legendary symmetrical all-wheel drive to help you take every journey with confidence. The all-new 2026 Subaru Outback and the 2026 Forester Hybrid. Love never looks so good. Get your next Subaru at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, or online at AndersonSubaru.com. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
News Radio 92.3 congratulates Andrew McKay on being the only broadcaster to make Florida's 50 over 50 list for 2026. For more than a decade, Andrew has kept Escambia and Santa Rosa counties informed, covering local meetings, interviewing officials, and breaking down big stories that matter. He takes pride in keeping the community informed and making sense of the headlines that shape our daily lives. It's a well-earned honor for a voice our community trusts every morning. Congratulations, Andrew, from News Radio 92.3.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Look, you do what you got to do. I know what I got to do. I got to nail that maniac and put him on ice. That's where I'm going to be.
Enhance your calm, John Sparks.
Look, I've had it with enhancing my calm.
Your calm, John Spartan. Like that. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. I don't know how many of us this applies to, so I don't want to overstate the significance of this story, but apparently in some cases, Google Chrome has installed an AI model on your PC. I looked to see if it had been installed on mine, and I'll be honest, I could not find it for sure. I cannot say it didn't. I sent my computer looking, and I couldn't verify it. But in a file named Waits, weights.bin, in a directory called Opt Guide on Device Model, Waits is the learned numerical parameters of an AI model that will teach it how to weigh the importance of various data points of Google's Gemini Nano, which lives on your devices, not on the cloud. Oh, it's not any big deal. It's only 4 gigabytes. So it's malware, right? I mean, Google has installed through its web browser a 4 gig AI model to watch and learn, apparently on at least some, possibly all, Chrome users? What? I haven't given up my Google yet, but I will tell you, the people who talk about, hey, DuckDuckGo, you know, or Firefox or one of the, I'm like, just tempting every once in a while. Bobby Cox passed away. I don't know if you're much of a baseball fan, but in the baseball community, Bobby Cox was legendary. You know, I'm a Cardinals fan, but man, Bobby Cox for years and years and years and years was a skipper of the Braves, and what, 14 years straight winning the division, which is just unreal. And, you know, getting that that one World Series championship in 95, but 5 National League pennants. And he was the, where did he take, was it the, Oh, man. It was in Toronto, I think, that he was with the, was it with the Blue Jays that he took them to the World Series in Game 7? Only Connie Mack, John McGraw, and Tony La Russa have more regular season wins than Bobby Cox. And 158 regular season ejections, most of anybody, which is, you know, yeah. Oh, yeah, and it was Toronto Blue Jays from 82 to 85. So legendary. And somebody made the comment and said, you know, in the same week that we lose Ted Turner and Bobby Cox, and they're like, I think we ought to have a, you know, a televised memorial service at 7:05 on TBS, which is, you know, the network station for both the Braves and obviously was part of Turner Broadcasting. So, yeah, I would agree with that. That, I mean, kind of ties the two things together. I don't think it'll actually happen, but it would be appropriate if they did it that way. All right, coming up next, more from the District 2 and District 4 forum/debate that I was moderating on Friday.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 90.